Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how, through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's Neighbors of Hope's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. This Sunday is Advent, the first Sunday of Advent for 2023. So we're super excited to kind of join in the historical experience of expectation. Advent means, you know, the coming. We're pregnant, like Mary, with a sense of expectation of birth, you know. And sure, historically, Jesus has already been born, but yet each year the church kind of experiences, how do we rebirth Christ in our lives type thing. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. A couple of the scripture readings on this Advent Sunday. From the lectionary, we have Isaiah 64. And I'm not going to read all of them. I'm not going to read the entirety, but it gives us a flavor of the sense of expectation. So in Isaiah 64, verse 1, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence." And then if you jump over to the gospel reading, which is in Mark chapter 13, beginning at verse 24, "But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory." So there's this, you can sense, Isaiah, we're talking, geez, oh Pete, you know, that's 700 years or so before Jesus. There's this sense of expectation. Oh Lord, look at, we're exiled, we're being oppressed, blah, blah, blah. You need to come down, liberate us, right? There's this great expectation. Well, then that gets fulfilled in Jesus. And then Jesus starts talking, right, in Mark about, hey, there's going to come this time yet. Still yet. And that's kind of what we're waiting for, right? And so each year, this is the first day of the new church calendar year, right? And we want to join in that sense of expectation, the sense of renewing Christ in our own lives, right? So that's kind of our theme for the day. Before we went on the air, I posed a question to you. I don't know if you have an opportunity to really think about it, but what is the most dangerous place for a Christian to be? What is the most dangerous place for a Christian to be?
Well, for me, I took it. I've been a biker all my life.
Ah.
I was also the chaplain of our particular situation.
Uh-huh.
And I bring the word to them in our meetings, make sure that everybody prays beforehand, or we go on a ride, whatever. So it's like, you know, taking the word to the snake pit, because you know what kind of people, not all, but some people in biker organizations are.
Yeah, 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 so yeah.
I took pride in that.
Yeah, yeah, that potentially could be a very... dangerous place to be. Yeah. Anybody else? Anything jump to mind?
Nothing.
Okay.
I think it's all about transparency too. I think, you know, some people, I mean, I know with me, putting the bad out there and realizing that change is dangerous for me. You know, I mean,
it can be broken, scary, that's for sure. Yeah, yeah.
Being broken is dangerous for me.
And
always not wanting to go back to that old behavior and that old character. You know, having a new identity and a purpose was dangerous for me. Okay? I mean, it was new. And that expectation of me following through and being diligent and how would you say that? You say, you teach us, hey, to create a new habit, it takes 28 days. And to be consistent, you know, that's hard too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, because, you know, come on, man, we're men, we fear. You know, I mean, we're the, you know, and sometimes that fear, you know, I mean, it's dangerous. You know, I don't like to cry. You know, I don't like to, hey, I need to talk to you, brother. I mean, I have things going on me. That's dangerous, too. So my coming, I mean, I don't look at New Year's resolution. I look at being consistent throughout the year and staying diligent in the Lord's word and staying diligent what he's doing in my life and spreading it.
Good.
You can't keep it.
Good.
Give it away.
Yeah. You know? Good, good, good.
I do agree, Rich. You know, it's kind of like being transparent, you know. You know, what's the most dangerous place? It could be a place of not having hope. It could be a place of not, you know, not being at being at a point where, you know, you're working on that relationship with Christ. You know, it could be a point where, you know, you're transitioning or changing or, you know, as a beginning encounter, you know, rebirth, new beginnings. I absolutely think that, you know, it can be something that it could be a thought process, you know, or it could be a place, but definitely, I think it's definitely transparent as well, as you mentioned, Rich.
Any other thoughts?
Yeah, I was raised a Catholic when I was a child, and when you're a child, you're going to church with your family, be it Sunday or Saturday in some circumstances. You're trying to understand what it's all about as a child. And there were classes you go to similar to Bible study, and they focus on you as a younger person of interest, and you're still trying to understand. So I'm thinking maybe the where it gets dangerous is even today there's things that I'm still understanding and didn't really understand. If you assume it's something else, and learning more about the scripture and what's going on, I don't know if you want to call it assumption. You know, you don't want to really assume, but it kind of seems that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really clear when you're a child. This is what it is. You go through certain stages and you learn. But then now it seems it's more clear to me, you know, the things that are going on that I didn't understand as a child. And it's really something to know. But the dangerous parts in scripture that's already been written, you know, it's something to understand at this point.
Yeah, good, good, good responses. So for me, particularly in light of Advent, all right, I think the most dangerous place for a Christian to be is a place of safety and comfort. You don't see that with the coming of the Christ child, right? Jesus, Emmanuel, right, moves in with suffering humanity. So like you're saying, sometimes we want to run for suffering. Not this cat, man. I'm just going to run right into it. We live in a culture. You try and avoid suffering, whatever it takes, right? And we all have our certain sufferings. If I can make a little more money, then I wouldn't have to suffer financially, you know, whatever it is, right? We're trying to avoid the suffering, and yet this is a suffering servant, Isaiah says. He comes in, there's no safety, there's no comfort when you're fully engaged with an ethos of suffering, right? And then when you can think about it, I mean, right, Jesus comes, Emmanuel, I mean, this is God being born in a barn. Not a whole lot of comfort there, right? This isn't the state-of-the-art maternity ward. And if you look at the life of Christ, he did not avoid, right? And I can't believe, I mean, he's executed by, you know, the Roman Empire. That's suffering. That's suffering. There's nothing comfortable about that. And when you live in kind of an imperial ethos, we tend to seek safety and comfort, and that's not what we saw in the life of Christ. And so as much as we want to celebrate, you know, the Christmas season and the coming of the Christ child and Advent and everything that comes with it, I think it's a reminder. It's like, spiritually, am I just trying to make it safe and comfortable? You know? holding my own till the next event? Or am I engaged? And look, I mean, you know, there are plenty of people, right? You go off to college, you get, or you maybe get some sort of vocational training, and then you, you know, you move away to where the job is and all that. You know, how many people really go out, get the skills, and then come back and try and to immerse themselves in their community and how face the challenges and the sufferings in a not so comfortable way in order to better that community so it looks like the kingdom of God. Any feedback on that thought? That's my thought.
Great point of view there. Yeah, because safety and comfort can also translate into being complacent. You know, and then as you mentioned in the scripture, you know, the return of the Lord. You know, certain things are coming to pass, and you know, people knowing that certain things are coming to pass. But when you're complacent, you know, you're not uncomfortable to the point where you're making preparation for the return. You know, if you just are safe and comfortable, you know, you're not uncomfortable enough to have that preparation. And I definitely think that that was a great response.
And so when we heard from Isaiah, you know, break open the heavens and get your butt down here, I mean, that's kind of what Isaiah is saying. We're going through all this suffering, right? But that doesn't mean they gave up on that. I mean, they obviously weren't real comfortable with it. They're immersed in the midst of it, and yet their hope lies in God. Right?
Their point of view at that day and age, they didn't know half the stuff that
we know right now. Right, right.
So to have that kind of faith, I mean, that's something that's a little about.
And isn't that what empowers us to move in the midst of the suffering? Right, and the uncomfortableness of life. It's the same thing we see, you know, when Jesus speaks in the mini apocalypse of Mark 13. Yeah, there's going to be all this suffering, blah, 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 blah. Nowhere does it say remove yourself from that. Right. Immerse yourself in it, because that's how we really image the Christ child.
And I think, too, Pastor, just to add a point, I think it's us, you know, when we, us going through this program, and it's taking risks.
Yeah.
Risk, you know, getting out of that comfort zone, getting out of what we know that we don't know, you know, and trying something new, you know, I mean, because, you know, I mean, look at it, I mean, we're like you said, we're ragamuffins, we're out there, you know, it's a whole new world, you know, I mean, just, and it's laying it down, really giving the Lord and Jesus control of what you got to do in your life.
Amen, brother. I think that's it. And that's what we see throughout the life of Christ. He did whatever his daddy told him to do.
It'll happen, too, you know? If you just listen. Happens to me all the time. Tells me what I got to do. Get up. Do this. Do that.
Yeah. Pay attention to what God's doing and respond faithfully.
Yeah.
That's it. That's our recipe for life, right? Yep. Now, that's easier said than done, right? And if we are ruthlessly honest, we know sometimes we hear that direction and we go the opposite way. You know, sometimes God's inviting us into a very sufferable, unsafe area. And we may run to the comfort.
Right.
Things like that. So something to think about now that we begin the Advent season. Hopefully this enriches our expectation of coming to the Christ child. So thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate you joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. Until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry and women and children's ministry, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our donation and recycling center, and this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.